Greetings to all in Jesus' name this morning. We're thankful to be able to be here. Some beautiful things that we've already heard. We're thankful for those encouragements. Think of that. The children's lesson here wasn't just for the young children, but they were for us adults too. We need to hear those things. Manners. What are manners? What are good manners? You know, we could expand our vocabulary. As we heard here in the children's lesson, using some of those words that Mr. Webster has defined, like thank you and please, excuse me, I'm sorry, I forgive you. There's a whole list we heard this morning. To be able to expand our vocabulary, I think that'll be good for every one of us to be able to be kind and tenderhearted one to another. Well, it's been mentioned this morning already, a couple different times about Mother's Day, and we don't want to get caught up in this whole emotional thing about Mother's Day. Some of the mothers would say that Mother's Day is every day, but here we have it on our calendar that it says Mother's Day is today. So we were exhorted already on some of those things. And as we see the different women in the Bible, they played a major part in the kingdom of God, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. You find those, you find and you look for them. You don't have to look very hard to find them. When you think of a woman, you'll find that word a lot of times in the Bible. When you look at mothers, I was a bit surprised, actually, that it was stated as often as it was. And also mother or mothers of the Bible is stated multiple times. I didn't count them, but it's in there a lot. And when you talk about daughters, you know, and that's where obviously daughters eventually sometimes go on to be into motherhood. It talks about daughters a lot in the Bible. So I was struggling a bit to find direction for this morning's service. And I felt that I found it yesterday morning here at the prayer meeting, that I was just reminded, you know, who our mothers are and what they do amongst us here. And what the Bible teaches on those things, and the beautiful things that they are about. So that's what we want to look at here this morning too. Just a blessing to the mothers. That was my heart's desire. That's what came to me. Bless the mothers. And so we'll try to do that this morning. We'll try to bless you mothers. Let's pray. Father, we are very grateful to be here this morning. We're thankful for your witness to our hearts already in this service. Thankful for the hymns that were sung and chosen, hearts that were turned towards you in choosing them, the message that they portrayed and we sung about. Father, may you receive glory and honor from this rest of this service as we continue to look to you, the true messenger of life, the one, the faithful one that feeds our soul. Father, we thank you. As you have done that already thus far, we pray that you would continue to give us nuggets and give us crumbs from the Bible that we can truly be fed. And Father, they are truly a blessing to our soul. And may they sink in the depths of our hearts that we can not only just hear them and be blessed and encouraged by, yes, that, but also that they would be grounded and rooted and settled, that from that there's much fruit that comes from it. Father, you're an everlasting God, and we look to you in that way as the eternal one. And here this morning, we want to glean some some truth that you have given to us throughout the ages of time through your word that have been preserved for us to take in here in 2023. Father, we thank you for that this morning. We pray a special blessing upon our mothers amongst us, the work that is theirs, the true, the asset, the blessings, all the things that they have done for us as children. You have placed them in a special place in our lives to bring us about, first of all, and then also as we think of training and teaching and taking care of and all that goes just with the generalities of being raised up as a child. Father, we can think of numerous things. We can write things on the board here behind us of all the things that mothers do. And the list could go on. So Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for blessing us with mothers here this morning. And may this part of the service be an honor to them as you have created them to work this way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, like I said, it was placed upon me yesterday morning here about Mother's Day today. And it was something that I had known about. We had talked about it as a committee in preparation for this Sunday's meal. So it's not like I was ignorant, but I wasn't thinking about it. So it came to me yesterday. You know what? This would be a time to encourage the mothers and bless them. We all have a mother. And if you still have your mother this morning, take the time and bless and thank her again for all she has done for you. Maybe do something special for her. Her labors don't go unnoticed. And in God's eyes, her work surpasses many others. I would say it's among the top. As one man put it, 1 ounce of mother is more than a pound of clergy. Don't underestimate your work or responsibilities in the Lord to your children. You have tremendous influence in the direction of your children's lives, in how you respond to life situations, how you teach and train them in your house, by your attitude of heart in matters. Many women, many men and women, but men specifically, attribute their success in ministry life to their praying mother. There's accounts given at different ministerial schools and such, even in the secular world, that at the call of the class, they were asked for a raise of hands who attributes their life's direction to a mother. And, you know, there's just a chorus of hands that go up. One account was where there was 120 of such going to some kind of a ministry school that 100 men stood up and attributed their direction in life from their praying mother. In one event, there were hundreds. This is a powerful influence in your children's lives. And I'm not laying responsibility all on you, but because this is Mother's Day, this is the subject at hand, you have tremendous influence in your children's lives. And us as fathers, we have our responsibility. We're not talking about our fathers, the fathers this morning. A prison chaplain stated that many times, the last good thing some of these prisoners remember is a prayer or a hymn taught by a mother's lips. Quote, "To attempt this task unprepared and untrained is tragic. And the result in doing so affects generations to come. On the other hand, there is no higher position to which humanity can aspire than that occupied by a converted, heaven-inspired, praying mother." End of quote. Your work, mothers, is no small thing. Here's a poem of such a testimony. It's a little bit lengthy, so try to understand the poem. It's called "Mother's Elbows on My Bed," and some of you may have read this. "I was but a youth and thoughtless, as all youths are apt to be, though I had a Christian mother who had taught me carefully. But there came a time when pleasure of the world came to allure, and I no more sought the guidance of her love so good and pure. Her tender admonitions fell but lightly on my ear, and for the gentle warnings I felt an inward sneer. How could I prove my manhood were I not too firm of will, to threat of future evil should all my pleasure kill? But mother would not yield her boy to Satan's sinful sway, and though I spurned her counsel, she knew a better way. No more she tried to caution of ways she knew were vain, and though I guessed her heartache, I could not know its pain. She made my room an altar, a place of secret prayer, and there she took her burden and left it in his care. And morning, noon, and evening, by the humble bedside low, she sought the aid of him who best can understand a mother's woe. I went my way unheeding, careless of the life I led, until one day I noticed prints of elbows on my bed. Then I saw that she had been there, praying for her wayward boy, who for love of worldly pleasure would her peace of mind destroy. While I wrestled with my conscience, mother wrestled still in prayer, till that little room seemed hallowed, because so oft she met him there. With her God she held the fortress, and though not a word she said, my stubborn heart was broken by those imprints on my bed. Long the conflict raged within me, sin against my mother's prayers. Sin must yield for mother never, while she daily met him there. And her constant love and patience were like coals upon my head, together with the imprints of her elbows on my bed." Mother love and God love are a combination rare, and one that can't be beaten when sealed by earnest prayer. And so at last the fight was won, and I to Christ was led, and mother's prayers were answered by her elbows on my bed. I want to go to Proverbs 31 and just read that portion there from verse 10 to 31. The Bible speaks of daughters, wives, mothers a lot. And so I think when God created mothers, He had a lot in mind for them. It is even stated in the Ten Commandments, is honor thy father and mother. And in Ephesians 6, which is the first commandment with promise, is also mentioned in there. They are included in that. Proverbs 31. So here we have advice to a king. The words of King Lemuel, speaking of Solomon, I believe. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Okay, so this was mother teaching King Solomon. What, my son, and what? The son of my womb, and what? The son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto woman, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verse 10 to 31 here. A good woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So verse 10, we have a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Her price is way more than rubies. Who can find one? Who can find one that is more valued than any rubies that you'll find? You know, it speaks of verse 32. Of 30. So we have the physical beauty is temporal. It doesn't discount it, but it's temporal. But virtue is eternal. So we here we have a virtuous woman that is focused on eternity, that her heart is engaged in the eternal prospect of praising and living for God. More than she's worried about her physical beauty. Who can find such a woman that has placed value upon eternal things versus temporal things? Who can find such a woman? Who can find a woman that is of such strength, that is morally good, that has power with God, and is trusting and resting, and the heart is settled upon the Lord? Who can find such a woman? It must be a rare thing, a rare jewel, something to look for, a gem to have. A virtuous woman is one that has power over her own spirit. Is firm on the principles of God. Is industrious in her ways. Proverbs seems to state this as a rare jewel. Verse 11. Her husband trusts her. He can depend on her not to do something foolish. We heard about being foolish, one of the mannerisms in the children's lesson. He don't have to watch over her back, so to speak. He knows there will be no spoil. Nothing will be wasted. Verse 12. All the days of her life with him will be good. She will do well all the days of her life. She will stand beside him in his vision and pursuits. She will not do anything to hinder him in his work for the Lord. She will not purposefully or knowingly do something to aggravate her husband. She has her husband's happiness in view. Understanding, as we go through these things, they go both ways. It works really well when some of these things are reciprocated. It just works. You know, we sometimes, in the past, have used Sawzalls in remodeling situations. And somehow, with that reciprocating, sometimes they call them reciprocating Sawzalls. That's what the first word was for them. But then the Sawzall, I think, was an actual brand name. But somehow it just worked. Went back and forth and got its job done. Verse 13. Seeketh wool and flax. She's seeking the raw material to manufacture what was needed. She didn't go buy the already made stuff. And she worked willingly with her hands and did what was needful. I can picture somebody joyfully going about her work, not just duty, but enjoying it. Verse 14. Like a merchant ship buys and sells. I don't know. I thought of it this way. The getting and the giving. There were different things mentioned or referenced in that culture at that time. That spoke of some different things, but I think there's some application here also. There's principles that we can glean from too. And this is what I thought of: is the getting and the giving. There's a receiving and then a giving. There's those times where the good pass through our hands to their ways to bless someone else. You know, there's the initial getting. You have it in your hands, then you go and bless someone. That's her ways to bless someone. Or can the souls in your possession apply to where you go through a storm and weather to bring them or to lead them to their destiny? Verse 15. I remember well of home. How mom would fix me breakfast and my dinner bucket before I left for work early in the morning. She was a stickler about us getting our breakfast before we left. And she would rush around there in the kitchen and banging and clanging around and make sure that we got what we needed for the day and She was a worker. She always said, you can't work on an empty stomach. And she had many mouths to feed, many buckets to pack. The girls sometimes helped when they were around. But I remember her doing it for years, along with laundry and other things. And I don't ever remember her grumbling or complaining about anything of those things. And yet I can so easily find myself grumbling, it seems like. I know you go through life, seasons of life where life is really busy, you mothers. And maybe here too is a time that can be taken with the Lord. She rises also while it is yet night. Maybe this is the only time. I don't know when your time is with the Lord, but it's very needful for you to find time with the Lord. Maybe it's before everyone arises. Maybe it's the middle of the night when you're up with one of your children. To get your strength for the day is very needful. This is a must, somehow, to learn to feed yourself. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. This woman takes care of her household. So it is in order. In order to do this, she was there. She had to be there, giving direction, finding the things that were needful for her house. And she also gave to her maidens. 16, she is careful. She's frugal with her spendings. She considereth, then buys. She also provides some of her own to help with the need. Remember, we're raising a family. Verse 17. She is not slothful in activity. She keep her health up. Maybe does some exercise of body and mind. To keep her body and mind sharp and keen. Engagement helps that. It's not just lulled to sleep by inactivity, spiritually and or physically. She is able, strong in physic, and strong in the Lord. She is active and ready. Verse 18. Merchandise are good. There's different ways you could take this one. One way is your children. They are not merchandise, but they are of great value. You know, I remember when our children were younger and growing up, there was a baby in the house days. My wife would do things before she went to bed to be ready at any time through the night. You know, you were sleeping and when that baby winked, she was up wondering what was wrong. It's kind of how it seemed like when that baby stirred, she was awake. My wife was awake and tending to it. Most often I didn't find out about it. My wife would hear the baby and be up taking care of him or her, and I never found out about it oftentimes. It's interesting. But when my alarm clock went off, I heard it and she didn't. Somehow, when it came to the children, her mind was keyed in. I think God made them that way. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verses 19 and 20. It seems like there are life examples given. She is showing by example how to provide for her own. She's working before them. She is laboring with her hands and showing by example, teaching, how to do things. Maybe it's giving them responsibilities, then letting them do the sewing and laundry and dishes and cooking and chores, and then working beside him, showing this is how you do it, teaching them. Does or makes things for others around her to help out. Maybe the busier moms with the younger ones. maybe the older one's helping the younger ones, or she's finding time to bless someone else. This woman is stretching forth her hand to help those in need. You know, if we stay inward focused, we may think we are the ones in need. You know, can't anyone see that? Although this may be true, but this woman is outward focused, looking to the needs of others. And she is content in blessing others. Couple of verses in Exodus to go with this is the thinking of the need. Needs that arose there in the Israelites. There are some needs of different things. Okay, there was a hangings of the court were needed. They're just things needed for the tabernacle. And the things were brought to them, holy garments. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, verse 23, and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. And every one that did offer an offering of silver, brass, and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it, verse 25 and 26. And all the women that were wise-hearted, there was a need there, did spin with their hands and brought that which they spun, both blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So there were gifts there, and there was needs being met there by the women's hands there. Okay, verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She has provided for her own sufficiently. Her family has warm clothes for the winter months. She is not anxious because provisions were made. She looked ahead. She thought ahead of the needs that were there. She thought ahead of time instead of waiting until it was too late. But there was some foresight. Plans were made before the need was there. Scarlet, not necessarily the color, as the color cannot keep anyone warm. And I don't think it said scarlet because scarlet was often considered a high uppity piece of garment. But I don't think it was its meaning that. I think that she was very readily supplying the sufficient needs that were there. And she wasn't anxious about it because the needs she had foresight. She looked ahead. Everyone was warm through the winter months. Verse 22, her house and her own needs are also supplied and taken care of. She makes sure her family's needs are met. Verse 23, I would just say that behind every godly man hides a godly woman. A contentious woman can disqualify her husband. But a woman of this proverb sort will be of a true helpmeet and a blessing not only to the ones in the house, but also to the ones outside of the house, and a major testimony for or with her husband. He shall be a man that is noted, one that is sitting at the gates amongst the elders, somebody that is needed in the community. He shall be a man. Don't blame your wife for who you are, you know, with this. But be a man and take responsibility of our own actions. Don't be blaming our wives. Let's not be blaming our wives, the outcome unless it's positive and upbuilding. Verse 24, I mentioned that with verse 14, kind of the same way. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. 25, 26, 27, strength and honor are her clothing. These two things follow her. Strength and honor. It is who she is. Her dependency is on the Lord, and nothing will shake her identity in the Lord. These things are established in her life. She is honorable in all her ways. When she opens her mouth, people listen. There's wisdom there because the Spirit of God is evident in her life. She has kind words for everyone. When she speaks, it's worth listening to. Her words, like it says about Samuel, Samuel's testimony when he was growing up, we just came through that. When Samuel was a young man growing up, he says that his words didn't just fall on the ground. They were valuable. They were something to listen to. And this is the type of woman I believe that is talking about here. When she speaks, her words don't just fall to the ground. They were not vain, empty filler words, but rather words of depth and purpose. She's purposeful in how she raises her household. She teaches them not to be idle and lazy, but rather of a good spirit and industrious. Verse 28. One well-known minister tells a story of a minister making a call to a certain house. When he rang the bell of a certain house, a home, a little girl opened the door. He asked for her mother, and she said, Are you sick? He said he wasn't, and she asked, Are you hurt? Again, he said no. Then she asked if he knew of anyone sick or injured. When he replied that he did not, she said, Then you can't see Mama, for she prays from 9 to 10 o'clock. It was then 20 minutes after 9, but the minister sat down and waited for 40 minutes to see her. At 10 o'clock, she came with the light of glory on her face. And he knew why that home was so bright. He knew why her two sons were in theological seminary and her daughter was a missionary. All hell cannot tear a boy or girl away from a mother like that. What are we teaching our children to be? Good businessmen? How to make money? Workaholics? Or is it kingdom men we're seeking that are dedicated to God? There's the blessings that follow this type of a lady or this type of a woman from her children and from her husband. Verse 30. Again, we mentioned this in an earlier verse. This is not in verse 1, I believe. Again, this is not saying that it's wrong to have physical beauty, as some allude to. Some would say that it's wrong. But I don't believe that's what's saying. but please, let not that be your focus. That is vain and deceitful. That's the reality of it. That it is vain and deceitful. But rather focus on the Christ-like character of a meek and quiet spirit. One that feareth God, here it says in this verse, that is a beauty to behold. And that is a beauty beyond beauties. One that fears the Lord and is concerned about His characteristics. There would be a lot more words to be made with those verses, but we'll end with that. We have a very good God-like example, thinking of mothers, in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy verse 5. Paul's writing to Timothy. Said, when I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the genuineness in the old, it meant inexperienced in the act of acting. So he wasn't a good actor. It was genuine. It was who he was. Unfeigned faith. That's what unfeigned meant. So it's real live faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. So his grandmother and his mother were both Grecians, I believe. But somewhere along the line, the grandmother Lois got converted. And she taught her mother. And in turn, Eunice taught Timothy. And so, with all that teaching, when Paul came along, it seemed like there was a connection, and he was converted. But notice the mother, the grandmother and the mother. There was a teaching there. There was a following after there. Unfeigned faith. True. It dwelt in her grandmother. This unfeigned faith first dwelt in grandmother. Then he taught it to his daughter. And I'm sure she instructed her son, Timothy. Oh, mothers of young children. Here's a quote by J.R. Miller. O mothers of young children, I bow before you in reverence. Your work is most holy. You are fashioning the destinies of immortal souls. The powers folded up in the little ones that you hushed to sleep in your bosoms last night are powers that shall exist forever. You are preparing them for their immortal destiny and influence. Be faithful. Take up your sacred burden reverently. Be sure that your heart is pure and that your life is sweet and clean. The Persian epilogue says that the lump of clay was fragrant because it had lain on a rose. Let your life be as the rose, and then your child, as it lies upon your bosom, will absorb the fragrance. If there is no sweetness in the rose, the clay will not be perfumed. Verse in Judges. Just another example. I think Calvin mentioned her. Judges 5:7, speaking of Deborah. There was a mother in Israel. There was a mother in Israel, this time of the judges, when every man did that which is right in his own eyes. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jeel, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages seized. They seized in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, the mother in Israel. And the Lord did a work there through that mother that had a burden for the Lord. So, mothers, wives, don't underestimate your work. Do it with gladness. You have great influence on your children. Who do children call for when they get hurt and sick and need to be cared for? It's mom. Who puts the bandage on and brings them toast and cleans up their messes when they're sick? It's mom. When they need help with something, who gets called? Mom. It seems that she has missed the quickest. Where's mom? It just happened with our till end last night. He was calling for mom to help him in the bathroom. I was there. Other older siblings were there. That could have helped him as well. But there was no one else better than mom. Wives, mothers, moms, bless you in your service for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not go unnoticed. Mothers, wives, you often get the brunt end of your husband's decisions. And yes, most generally, you are involved in the decision making. But usually, you help carry out the decision whether you are part of it or not. Like when there's an invitation of people coming over. Invite somebody, your husband invites a family over. But you often are the ones that fix most of the meal. Maybe it's snacks at brother's meeting. You're not there. You don't get the benefit, so to speak, from it. But you're usually the one that makes it. Maybe you decide to move to another area. You're involved in all the packing and planning and moving. Maybe there's a family that goes to the mission field. You too are part of the labors. When your husband commits to helping someone and he offers your help when you don't know anything about it, and maybe he had forgotten your plans for the day. You do make a choice at those times, and with all other things you do behind the scenes. You can choose to do it willingly or begrudgingly, and this will play a major outcome of your children's lives. And how this is how your response is. And again, this is a little one-sided here. So us men, we have our part to play in all this. This is no excuse for us. Just a hint to those of you that have mothers. Don't ever take your mother for granted and thank her for all she does and the impact she has made in your life. And don't ever despise your mother. It will go well with you, and I believe it's in the promise of being obedient to your parents that thou mayest live long upon the earth. It will be well with you. Ephesians 6:1-3. Help your mother. She does a lot. She works hard. She's always on duty. A man's work is from sun up to sun down. You know, that's a full day, isn't it? The latter part of that is a woman's work is never done. So let's be considerate. Who shows compassion when life is hard? A mother. Who shows gentleness when dad comes down hard? A mother. Who is there day and night to help with needs? Mother. She's always on duty, on call. She deserves your help and blessing and love. And thank God for her. And thank her again today. So, we're glad to have so many godly mothers amongst us, you know. And know that your labors are not in vain. In God's eyes, in our eyes, you are truly worth a lot to the kingdom of God and to us. God sees every act of service coming from your hands, and I believe you will be rewarded for them. The Lord's blessings upon you all.